Land and the Sun. The American Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with United Nations Radio, brings you the story of a people who live in a place called Togoland, under an international institution known as the Trusteeship System. Your host and narrator, John Daly. The Hand and the Sun.
These drums are talking drums. Some people call them the jungle telegraph. These are talking drums. There are many people in Togoland who can read what they are saying. These are the talking drums of His Highness the Yana of Dagomba, ruler of a 250,000 people. These are the royal drums, but the message they are beating will be repeated by other drums of the Dagomba over hundreds of miles. The message is an important one. The Yana will come. The Yana will come to the market of Yendi. The Yana will come to the market of Yendi tonight to speak to the people. The Yana will come to the market of Yendi tonight to speak to the people about the hand and the sun. The hand and the sun. Those drums and the messages beaten out on them were recorded recently in an obscure corner of Africa called British Togoland. The occasion was important. It marked a milestone in the lives of some 400,000 people. The drums spoke of a plebiscite, a rather special plebiscite in which, under the eyes of the world, these people were asked to help decide their own political future. Before the people were two alternatives. One represented by the symbol of a hand, the other by the symbol of a sun. The hand won in the balloting. The results of the balloting will be placed before the United Nations General Assembly when it meets here in New York in November. The Assembly will analyze and assess the results and give its decision. And with this decision will be fulfilled one of the most fundamental principles of the United Nations.
To develop friendly relations among nations based on respect for the principle of equal rights and self-determination of peoples, and to take other appropriate measures to strengthen universal peace.
The connection between an obscure plebiscite in a little-known part of Africa and universal peace may, at first sight, appear a little remote. Yet the connection is real and direct. It lies in that one word, self-determination. In the glossary of current political phrases, there are few words with a larger significance, few words more fraught with the force which shapes the destiny of men and of nations. Unharnessed and unchanneled, this vast force could erupt in violence and chaos. The United Nations stands dedicated to the proposition that this force for change can be harnessed and can be channeled towards peaceful directions. There are in the world today some 123 million human beings who do not govern themselves. In the United Nations Charter, they are divided into two broad categories, depending upon the historic origins of their dependence. The majority live in what the Charter calls non-self-governing territories. These are more popularly known as the colonies. The second category of dependent peoples for whom the United Nations Charter assumes international responsibility are those living in lands which were once German, Japanese, or Italian colonies and which today have been designated international trust areas. Total population, about 20 millions. These 20 millions differ from the peoples in the colonial areas in one important respect. In the unfolding of their future, the United Nations itself has a direct and immediate responsibility.
It is this direct responsibility which was invoked in the case of Togoland. The issues concerning its future are complex. One complexity arises from the fact that Togoland is divided under two administrations, one British and the other French. This dates back to the time when the French and British conquered Togoland from the Germans in the First World War and divided it between themselves. Another complication arises from the fact that the Togoland population is composed of not one, but many tribal and racial groups. These groups carry over the artificial political divisions into neighboring territories. And add to all this the fact that the economic interests of one tribe or group may be closely linked with its neighbors to the west, and of another with its neighbors to the east. All these complex racial, social, and economic factors made possible a wide variety of political preferences, some favoring union with the British Gold Coast, even at the cost of splitting Togoland, others desiring a united Togoland, even at the cost of continuing trusteeship for a while, and others still seeking unity within the French Union. Faced with this situation, it was clear that there could be no easy decision on Togoland's future. For many years, the United Nations General Assembly and Trusteeship Council had been hearing, examining, and assessing the varying views of the people themselves. Then, in 1954, the British appeared before the United Nations with an important announcement. So far, they said, they had administered their half of Togoland together with a Gold Coast colony. But that colony had now been promised independence. Togoland could not be administered separately. What should be done? Obviously, a decision was needed, and urgently. First, a mission was sent out to study the situation on the spot. The mission made recommendations. The essence was, leave it to the people to decide. The Assembly agreed. And that is the story behind the Togoland balloting. It is the first time that such a ballot has been held in a dependent area under direct United Nations supervision.
Now to the plebiscite. Let us join a briefing of plebiscite officers of one of the constituencies. The chief returning officer is explaining the official poster, which sets out the two alternatives and their symbols.
On the left, we have the symbol allocated to the first alternative.
A white hand with forefinger upraised on a black background,
which is the union of Togoland under British administration with an independent Gold Coast. On the right, we have the symbol allocated to the second alternative, the yellow circle on a white background.
The sun symbol,
which is the separation of Togoland under British administration from the Gold Coast and its continuance under trusteeship pending the ultimate determination of its political future. Those are the exact words taken from the resolution of the United Nations General Assembly, and underneath are translations in Twi, Ewe, Dagbani, and Hausa, which are the four.
The man giving that briefing is a member of the staff of Sir John Dring, the plebiscite administrator. By arrangement between the United Nations and the administering authority, all senior officials in the plebiscite are expatriate officers not connected with Togoland politics. A United Nations staff was present as well, not to conduct the plebiscite, but to observe it. They were under the leadership of a Mexican diplomat, Mr. Eduardo Espinoza, the plebiscite commissioner. Registration was soon completed and vigorous political campaigning put in motion. Activity in the south was more intense than in the north.
Hallelujah, no madi.
The village is called Nekatukwan in the Krachi district. 200 people are gathered around a loudspeaker car which is parked under the giant baobab tree. The words of the song translate substantially like this. Hallelujah, Hear the words of Kwame. Hear the words of Kwame. Kwame Nkrumah, for they shall come true. You're right. The word being shouted is freedom. That is the slogan of the Convention's People's Party, which stands for amalgamation with the Gold Coast. The party follows the political lead of the Gold Coast Prime Minister, Mr. Kwame Nkrumah. The opposition political party is called the Togoland Congress. The CPP's slogan of freedom, it counters with the slogan liberty. But the difference is much more than semantic. The Congress stands for separation from the Gold Coast.
We only want to be separated from the Gold Coast and remain under trusteeship, under British trusteeship, pending the ultimate decision on our political future. We have told our people plainly that voting for union with the Gold Coast at the present moment would mean a commitment for which we have no reason to believe that our future is safe.
That was Mr. S.G. Antor, leader of the Togoland Congress. Mr. Antor explained that he is not against eventual association with the Gold Coast, but he believes it should come on a federal basis after the two Togolands have been unified. Another Congress leader, the Reverend Amatobla, puts his party's platform this way.
Now, we have on our posters in this campaign, if you want unification, independence, and federation, vote for the sign of the sun. Now, far back in our minds, we propose to federate with the Gold Coast after we have achieved unification.
But other leaders representing the CPP are strongly in favor of union with the Gold Coast immediately. Togoland, they say, cannot survive economically without such a union.
We feel the economics of Togoland is so weak that it is highly impossible for an independent Togoland state to survive. And therefore, we feel if we go with the Gold Coast, we shall be on very safe ground economically.
That was Chief Tepre Hodor of the CPP. So the campaign proceeds in the South, energetically as far as the CPP is concerned. The campaign is also energetic among the adherents of the Congress. One of the leading figures in the campaign is a singing tailor, Emmanuel Kalai, who has composed the Congress campaign songs. Mr. Kalai gives us an animated rendering of one of his works, while the party leader, Mr. Antor, provides a line-by-line translation.
Togodaka, wejejeleun, amblodidaka, wejejeleun.
Togoland ballot box, there is a sun on it. On the ballot box of liberty, there is sun. Sons of Togoland, put your ballot paper in it. That is the only way by which you save Togoland. Togoland ballot box, there is sun on it. On the ballot box of liberty, there is sun.
So much for the campaign in the South. In the North, the campaign was less vigorous, the issues more clear-cut, and the general feeling more emphatically in favor of integration with the Gold Coast. The people here look up to their chiefs for guidance, and the chiefs stand for union, as our reporter discovered for himself as he paid a visit to the court of Yana at Yendi.
He was seated on the throne, surrounded by his elders and the divisional chiefs, his linguists, interpreters, retainers, and musicians. It was the month of Ramadan, and all the people were fasting, so we were advised to be brief. The Yana and his Dagomba people are Muslims, though the Yana has accumulated some 18 wives, or 14 more than the Quran allows. Some of them were watching the proceedings from the side. Formalities began with my saying, "I hope I find the Yana in good health." And this was translated into Dagomba. The Yana answered. His answer was translated back into English. "My health is good, thank you." My next question. "And all your people?" Translation. Response. Translation. "And my people also, thank you." Last question. "What are the views of the Yana on the matter of the hand and the sun?" Once again, translation. Response. Translation. "The views of the Yana are well known. They have been communicated to the United Nations on several occasions. The Dagomba want integration with the Gold Coast. They want the hand." The Yana had been going around speaking to the people on this matter. He was to make another speech in the marketplace tonight. The audience was ended. We rose, bowed, and withdrew.
The day of decision approached. From the plebiscite administration office, ballot boxes, papers, screens, all the other equipment for 557 polling stations went out. 557 polling stations for a total registration of nearly 200,000 voters. On the evening of the 8th of May, hundreds of officials took up their stations and waited for the hour of decision. It is before first light on plebiscite morning. A paraffin lamp is burning in a schoolroom somewhere in Togoland, and the presiding officer for the plebiscite in the district is giving last-minute instructions to the policeman on duty at the polling station.
Musanga.
Yes, sir?
Well, today is the day of plebiscite.
Yes, sir.
And everybody is coming to vote here. This is the polling station. You see, from here to that corner,
yes,
is 20 yards
yes,
square, you see?
Yes, sir.
Well, you'll see that everybody who comes here doesn't talk.
Yes, sir.
You'll see again that nobody put on any party collar, flags, buttons, or anything otherwise to indicate that is for the union or for separation.
Yes, sir.
That is not allowed in this polling station.
Yes, sir.
You don't allow any party songs, and then when the people are in the queue, you let them come in.
Yes, sir.
One by one or two by two.
Yes, sir.
You don't allow them to rush in.
Yes, sir.
That order is clear.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Scenes like that took place all over the territory before dawn on the 9th of May. By the time 6 a.m. came around, great crowds had gathered at many of the polling stations.
Today is the polling day. The plebiscite, the long-expected day. And so, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I declare this polling station duly open.
Heavy polling was reported immediately. All over the country, people waited patiently to vote. The sick were carried to the polling stations on litters. In some villages, the chiefs forbade any marketing or laundry activities until the villagers had voted. This is what happened when a prospective voter came along.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty well.
Bring your thumb.
Yes, those words were, "bring your thumb." In order to prevent anyone from trying to vote twice, each voter's thumb was marked with an ink pad when he received his ballot paper. A simple and obvious precaution. The mark would not be easy to erase, at least for a day or so.
Your name, please?
J.C.K. Ja.
J.C.K. Ja.
Yes.
She looks up the name in the official register and finds Mr. Jha's number.
D22. Go to the lady for your paper.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Jha now crosses to the other assistant, who marks his thumb and hands him the ballot paper.
Go in straight. You find two boxes there. You place it inside the one which you like.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, at this point, we must leave our voter to the privacy of the screen and the two boxes behind it. On the left, a box with the symbol of a hand for unification with the Gold Coast. On the right, the box with the symbol of the sun for separation and continued trusteeship. Throughout the day, the people voted and made their choice in an orderly and democratic manner under the eyes of the United Nations and the world. The next morning, with results pouring in from counting centers all over the country, the United Nations plebiscite commissioner, Mr. Eduardo Espinoza, said,
I should like to stress the readiness, the sense of responsibility, and the great dignity with which the people flocked yesterday to the polls. My group has exerted itself yesterday to make the widest possible coverage of the polling, and aside from the work that was to be expected of each of the observers, every man and woman in my staff was accredited to take up special duties on polling day, and staff officers went to the most important districts to assist the observers so that all of their stations could be visited. I shall now take up a fundamental aspect of my work, which is to prepare the report that I am to submit to the Trusteeship Council and to the General Assembly.
What will this report say? It will say that 194,000 people registered as voters in the plebiscite. Over 160,000 actually voted, more than 80%. 93,000, mostly from the north, chose the hand symbol, pointing to unification with the Gold Coast. 68,000, mostly from the south, voted for the sun, shining on separation. The figures are to be further analyzed, assessed, and discussed by the United Nations Trusteeship Council and the General Assembly. But there is one verdict that we can reach even now. A people under tutelage has been asked to speak its mind directly, not only through headman, chief, administrator, and petitioner, but directly. They've been asked to show their will by the normal arithmetical process of democracy. In this way, the world has witnessed an important step towards the fulfillment of some basic principles of the United Nations Charter. The hand or the sun? The hand or the sun?
You have been listening to The Hand and the Sun, the story of a people who live in a place called Togoland, under an international institution known as the Trusteeship System. The program has been brought to you by the American Broadcasting Company in cooperation with United Nations Radio.